Jim, you wanna start us off?
Sure.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, praise you, Lord. Just fill this place with your life, Lord.
Thank you, Father, thank you.
Praise you, Lord. Father, I was thinking this morning, after 33 years of my life, the Bible meant absolutely nothing to me. I don't even know if I ever cracked it. But then one day when you redeemed me and saved me, quickened me and made me alive and resurrected me, all of a sudden, the Bible came alive.
Yes, Jesus.
And basically, I think what you were telling me this morning, Lord, was that without your anointing, without you quickening the word to us, the Bible is still a dead letter until you quicken us by your Spirit. It's all by your Spirit. We were saved by your Spirit, quickened by your Spirit, raised by your Spirit, seated in heavenly places and blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And you said that you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so, Father, we look to you this morning to lead us and guide us. Open the book inside of us, Father, that's already been written even before the foundations of this world was laid. There's a book inside of us that you're opening up even now, and you're revealing the very plans and purposes that you have for our life, where we might glorify Jesus. And we thank you, God, for this time together this morning. Thank you most of all for your presence that's here and the desire that you've given each and every man and woman in this room to be here this morning to seek your face. And it's all by grace. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, we're in Psalms 102. If I could get someone to read Psalms 102, 19 to the end.
I'll read it. The Lord looked down from the sanctuary on high, from heaven he viewed the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. In the course of my life he broke my strength, he cut short my days, so I said, do not take me away, O my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you.
Praise the Lord. Some good stuff in there, isn't there? Some good news in there. But we will not get past 102, verse 19 today, because there's just so much in that verse. It's just, whew. It just kept unfolding and unfolding and unfolding, and just such an awesome verse. And the imagery of it, I mean, if you just for a second step back and just check the imagery in the natural, you see this God looking down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven, and beholding his workmanship, his earth, but course, that's not the way we're going to look at it. We have a much more realistic look at that picture there, but it is kind of a neat little image that you see God checking out heaven, or checking out earth from heaven. But anyway, Lord just kind of gave this to me. God was looking down from a higher realm to a lower realm, you know. The lower realm, meaning that earthly realm that we've talked so much about, and it's just a lower realm. And it's not the heavenly realm.
Different perspective.
It's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting that godly perspective And that's all he's doing, showing us in this verse, is we need to have that godly perspective. We need to be looking at it from that higher realm. Then when you're at the higher realm, you can see the lower realm much better, and you can kind of dissect it and come around with something that's going to give you wisdom on how to deal with that lower realm. Because we're still going to deal with the lower realm, okay? But we don't have to live in that lower realm. We want to live in the heavenly realm, because then we respond, react, whatever, much, much differently than we would if we were in the earthly realm.
Well, he says we're seated with him in heavenly places.
Exactly. That's one of my scriptures.
Remember you were telling about being up high,
yeah,
in that building,
yeah,
seeing the parade, seeing all instead of just here.
Yeah,
if those are you are, there's, yeah.
If those are your problems or your concerns or your earthly, if that's the earthly realm, then guess what? The higher you go, the smaller they get. You know.
Yeah, the earthly realm is your footstool.
Yeah.
Really.
You bring you up into higher places.
Yeah.
So I just love this verse because of the, again, the imagery, as well as there's so much. It's such a now word for us, because that's where, you know, if God's going to look from heaven and behold the earth, we need to also. You think?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that, you know, some people will say, well, we can't do that because we're not God. Well, that's not what my Bible says, and we're going to dig into that and find out what the Bible says about it, because the Bible, well, anyway, Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. Now understand, this is Isaiah prophesying, but I feel that the Lord showed me years ago that, you know, if you're gonna be in those heavenly realms, his ways aren't any higher, because we're basically there, one with him. And if we're one with him, and we allow his thoughts to be our thoughts, and we don't do anything that he doesn't tell us to do, we don't say anything that he doesn't tell us to say, aren't we in the heavenly realm? Aren't we in that place where basically his ways are our ways? And our thoughts are, his thoughts are going to be our thoughts. What are you shaking your head for?
It's nice. It's nice to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of us live in that realm that you're talking about. But we're still living in this earth, which is not a nice place anymore.
Amen, sister.
So, I mean, we have to, and we have to, we bring ourselves up to that realm that, you know, God is that sees. But doesn't he also see the world, what he created? You said what he created?
Didn't you just that verse, let's go back to it. Verse what we're talking about. It says, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth.
Okay, and what did he see when he behold this earth?
Well, I mean,
he sees a finished work.
Yeah, I was going to say, he sees perfection.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what you're saying.
We're mean to one another.
Okay.
The world is mean to each other. We're destroying what he made. So,
but he knows where it is now and where it's going, and where the completion is. He already knows that. That's why his ways or his thoughts are much higher than our thoughts, and his ways are much higher than our ways. Because he already sees the beginning from to the end.
Yeah.
He already sees that. So he sees where we're getting. You know, when you send that kid to school in kindergarten, you pretty much know that you're going to be going to his graduation ceremony someday from high school.
You know? Well, you're hoping.
Well, but I'm just saying that's...
Nowadays, the kids don't even know if they're going to come home from school.
Okay. But see, we're looking at the cup as half full. The cup is half full. And it's going to be all the way full. And God sees a full cup. You know, and if we look from that realm too, guess what? We don't get into that of the earthly realm. That's
but we live in that earthly realm.
No, but you don't have to live in that earthly realm.
The kingdom of heaven.
We're getting ahead. Let me move. Yeah. Go ahead.
The kingdom of heaven is within you.
Right.
So you can choose to look out there and see in part, just, or you can dwell in the kingdom of heaven right within you.
Just hang tight, and then you can, after we get through all this, if this doesn't answer your question, then ask, and we'll try to answer it. But I mean, I think this will answer your question. In John 3:12, it says, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? Mm-hmm. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is even
how
better.
How can you believe?
No man hath ascended up to heaven. So if you're going to stay in that earthly realm, you're not going to ascend up to heaven. Okay? But he that came down from heaven, Jesus...
Yeah.
That he's speaking of himself, but I also believe he's speaking of the sons of God. I believe that he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is where?
In heaven.
He's in heaven. Jesus is saying he's in heaven, and he was on this horrible place that you're talking about. It was just as bad back then as it is now. People think people are more depraved, but it's just more people. Who are depravity and all the stuff that we look at, society and evil and whatever, has been here since Cain slew Abel, mm-hmm. right? So it doesn't get any worse than murder, right? I mean, I don't think. So if it's been here forever, all it is there's just more people. There's more people on the earth than has ever been on the earth before.
I think the thing that we have to understand, and this is something that religion generally does not teach us, God is sovereign. He's in charge of everything. He created all things. And he put a plan in motion. He did it. Okay?
Thank goodness.
Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of you. It's of him. Okay? I think religion has taught us that we're the ones that have to create a nicer earth, we're the ones that has to do it, and we have to appease God, and as we do, things will get better, and so on and so forth. But I think once you see the sovereignty of God and understand that when he created the earth, he created with a purpose in mind that he was going to bring to pass. He was going to bring it to pass, not you, okay? But God was going to bring it to pass. Salvation is of the Lord. He who has begun a good work in you, he will bring it forth to completion. You won't. He will bring it forth to completion. So when he looks at the world and he knows his plans and his thoughts toward the world, he sees the world as a finished, beautiful Garden of Eden. It goes back to the Garden of Eden where it was in the beginning, okay? We see it through our eyes, the lower level we're at, our perception, and things don't look very good. Mm-hmm. But God says, I have a plan in motion. I'm going to bring everything in accordance with my mind and my purposes. And since he's a God of love, it's all going to end up good. It's all going to end up good. Okay? That's what I have to say.
So let's look at the good and not so much the bad. And if you see something and you want to fix it, then you know what? The Lord will reveal it to you and say, I'll do whatever I can to make it good. And that's within your heart.
You know, that first verse there that we're reading, you know, where it talks about the sanctuary. You know, we sing that song, God prepare me to be a sanctuary to pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And the real sanctuary that God wants to dwell in is you. Know you not that you're the temple of God. He wants to dwell inside of you. And we have a tendency that we go in and out of the consciousness of God, in and out of the mind of Christ, because we let the things of this earth sometimes drag us down into the lower realms, lower way of thinking, I'll put it like that, rather than just acknowledging Him in all of our ways, that His Spirit would direct our paths, see? And the thing about it is, it's like I shared a sermon a couple weeks ago, and I said the singing and the shouting has come. And in that I talked about Elohim, and I talked about in the beginning when God created the heavens and earth, it was Elohim. And then in Psalms 82, he begins to talk to, this psalm is very prophetic. He says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, among Elohim. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about us. Because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to wake up into who they really are and understand who they really are in him. And we're not in that total consciousness at this point because we go in and out too much. But we're gonna come to that place. In Revelations it talks about, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He'll go no more out. I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Well, if he writes upon you the name of God, what's that name? If you go back to Genesis, that name was Elohim. That was the first mention of God. And Elohim is not a singular word, it's a plural word. It means more than one. So we were in God in the beginning. And then he sent us here to the earth. You know, we don't exactly understand why we were lowered into the lower realm. But it says the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by him who subjected the same in hope. And that hope is that in finality we'll all come to the realization of who and what we are and rise up into being another, that part of him again, that total part of him, see. And if you understand that, and then if you understand what it says in Psalm 82, when he says here in verse 2, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the sons of the wicked, Shelah? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to God or is he talking to us? He's talking to us. He says, defend the poor, the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy out of the hand of the wicked. And it says, they know not, neither do they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you're gods and children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. You'll die like Adam, it's saying there. And fall like one of the princes. And then he says, arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And when he's saying, arise, O God, he's saying, arise, O Elohim, because you're a part of me. And until you come to that realization that you're really a part of me and begin to come up into that elevation, the earth is going to stay out of course. And that's why in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says that all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It didn't say the Son of God, the sons of God. Why? Because creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. That'll be the fulfillment of what God is going to do. But it's going to take a people really waking up to who and what they are in Christ, coming up into that elevation of thinking to where they don't go in and out of that consciousness. And we do go in and out of it a lot. And if you say you don't, I'm going to say I don't believe you because you ain't walking on water.
You're in denial.
You know? But I'm going to tell you, we're coming to that. It's a gradual awakening. And as he awakens us to that, then we'll function in that higher level all the time. And when you function in that higher level all the time, the miracles, the release, people are going to be set, the captives are going to be set free. A lot of things are going to happen. All the governments of this world are going to come the governments of our Lord and of his Christ. That's you. That's who you are. You're his Christ. You're his anointed ones. you know. But it's one of those things that it's a gradual awakening. It's not something where we, and maybe all of a sudden it's going to happen, you know, to where we'll come to the full awakening of that. I don't know. But, you know, and I'll say right now, everybody that I know goes in and out at this point. I don't know anybody that don't go in and out, because I hear negative things coming out of the mouth of a lot of the brothers and sisters.
She stays in.
Yeah, well.
You love her.
No, but.
When we come into that full, we will judge the earth righteously. We will judge with the judgment of God that He's judged us. And He has judged us with mercy and grace and forgiveness. And as long as we see the earth, and, you know, we have to start seeing the earth as God has seen us and has chosen to forgive and to give us grace to become the sons of God.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad God is God and not me.
That's right. Hallelujah.
It would be over.
Well, you're a part of Him, but you haven't grown to the place yet to where you can show the same mercy and love and forgiveness that He has. But you will. You'll get there. You'll get there. Mm-hmm. You'll be there.
That's a going in and out. One day I want to, and the other day I want to love Him.
That's right.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, don't ever be sorry, Etta.
This is called a discussion class.
That's why it's
discussion. This is a discussion class. This isn't a...
I'm the only one that's negative.
No, you're not negative.
No, you're not. You're the only one that honestly asks the questions.
You ask good questions.
I just can't see God loving this earth. He has to cry all the time.
How about
this
comfort
cry? Earth? Because what was and what what it is now, I just can't see loving it.
What
does it say in the Gospel of John? For God so loved the world that He gave His
that
own.
World.
No, but it was its entire cosmos.
You know,
it's everything.
If you think of your children like God thinks of us,
that's a good point.
Yeah. You look at your children, and no matter how they act or what they're doing, you love them. You're there for them. You're supporting them.
And His love is beyond that.
And His is even greater than that.
Right.
So He looks at the world and sees these, because they're as children to Him, all of their mess up and all that, but He loves. And that's what...
I mean, I don't think He's happy all the time. I agree with you. I'm sure He's not. We've got issues with our kids where we're not happy, but we still love them.
You're still there for them.
Yeah, I mean,
you still do anything for
it. You might beat him upside the head once in a while, but
that's what
it's
that
worst man.
Dad beats him.
No matter what.
In 3:13 John it says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven." Okay, that word for man is udos. And that word udos is basically not even one man, woman, or thing. So, you know, flesh can't inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why He came to burn it all up. You know, His if He's the consuming fire, what's He consuming?
Wood, hay, stubble.
Stuff that needs to be consumed that's not of Him. If it doesn't look like Him, it's gone. You can fight and scream and kick the whole way, but guess what? It's gone. It's going to go one way or the other. So why don't you willingly say, "Lord, come and burn it up, Lord, burn it up.
But
get it out of me. I don't want it. I want all
things.
Of you." You know?
The garbage in your life is not you. They are two different things. So the behavior and the people, He can hate the behavior, but he's going to burn it up out of their personalities, but He still loves the creature.
I mean, the majority of people are living in a mistaken identity.
Yes.
We've said this here for decades. A mistaken identity. They've been taught whatever, believe whatever, that they're someone that they're not.
No good.
Okay? Our identity is with Christ. you know, and he's transforming us by renewing our mind and doing all that stuff, burning up the stuff. What, you know, all this stuff is to bring us into that oneness with the Father. Just like Christ, I mean, he came not only to save the world of sin and whatever, that was definite, and that was a wonderful thing, but he also came as the pattern son. Okay, he came to show us where we're going, where we're really at, especially after he said it is finished. But we're now walking it out and trying to, you know, allow the Lord and quit getting in his way and allow him to do what he's going to do in us.
Were you always an angel? All your life?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was.
But you're a changed person now, aren't you? If I would have looked at you 30, 40 years ago, would I see the same person sitting here now?
I hope not.
Okay. Well, then why can't he do the same thing to the world that he did for you and he did for me?
Oh, beautiful. Good job.
He's doing it.
Good that job, word there, heaven, Jim. It says, but no man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. There's heaven three times in that scripture. That must be an important word, wouldn't you guess? And it's the region above the sidereal, which is the sidereal is the star, is the stars and the constellations. So it's in the region above, but I would like to say it's the realm above all that. The seat of order of things eternal and consummately perfect, where God dwells and other heavenly beings.
The realm of spirit.
Yeah. Paul said he was caught up into the third
heaven. Yeah. But let's break it down. Where does God dwell?
In us.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, people just keep looking up in the stars thinking God's sitting on a cloud somewhere up there. But guess what? He's as close to you as your next breath. I mean, he's right there in your holy of holies. I mean, we've got the outer court, the body. We've got the inner court, which is our soul. We've got where God dwells is the spirit realm, which is the holy of holies. Back, I mean, that temple was type and shadow of what's going on right now, but it was types and shadows are a small comparison to reality, and reality is he's living in us.
You know what just came to me was that if Paul was caught up to the third heaven and the kingdom of heaven is within us, we are complete in him, and the third heaven is within us.
Exactly.
And it's not a question of going, it's just opening that door. It's there.
It's revealed.
Wow.
Do you remember what he said? He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't say.
Yes.
He didn't know.
Yes.
But yet, it was in the body, I believe, but it was in, he was caught into the highest realm. Of God.
Might not have even been the highest.
Who was this?
Well,
it was the third.
Third, well, yeah, I believe the third
is the highest.
Well,
the
holy.
The holy of holies.
That's where the
Shekinah
is. That's the Shekinah glory of God.
That's right. A lot of people want to say there's seven and there's lowest
and
that, but I believe
it's right.
But all that matters is that holy of holies, that where the Shekinah glory of God is just consuming that area.
Just like that time that God told you to go in the room and you said you couldn't even explain where you had been.
Well, and that's right. And you
and
know
it
what?
Was right within you.
And after that situation, it was so euphoric that I didn't feel like I was even walking on the ground the rest of the night. I mean, you know, when I came out of the room after that experience, well, that was because he had taken me into a very high realm. And but see, that's where praise and all that comes in. The more, you know, I actually went in there saying, Lord, let me get lost in your praises. And I did, you know, and that's when I heard that heavenly host praising God. And it was just, I mean, the most beautiful thing I've ever heard, you know.
Words can't describe.
No, you can't even, I can't even really describe it. And, you know, and then there was a sense of when God spoke to me, it was just a sense of, did I hear words? It was like I just knew, you know what I mean? It was a sense of knowing, and I knew that I knew, you know, what he was saying to me, you know what I mean? But But so that's the thing about that is that, you know, we don't even understand the glory that he's going to reveal that's going to be break forth from the inside of us. I mean, we don't even have a clue. We think we do sometimes. We talk about it. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be so... You can't even put the words. No. It's going to be so glorious, so wonderful, that full expression of Christ in you when it really comes forth, that I'm telling you what, it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And creation, is they're going to come to the brightness of our rising as we rise into that realm. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be there's going to be a people going to rise into it first, the first fruits. And they're going to set creation free.
Amen.
That's what it says in the Word. The sons of God, they're going to set creation free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And you know, in the Philips it says the creature's been subject to vanity or futility. It says, not because they choose to be blind, but because God has so limited them right now. And it basically says, but when reality breaks forth, see, and we're not living in reality right now. We think we are. We think everything we see out there is reality. Mm-hmm. That's not reality. And the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit. And I don't mean to preach a sermon here, but mm-hmm. the things of the natural are the things that declare the Spirit. What are most of the TV shows on that you watch today?
Reality
TV shows. Why? Because creation is crying out, we want reality. Those aren't reality.
Yeah,
they stage those stupid things. Mm-hmm. But people will sit and watch that and watch that and watch that and think, oh, this is so wonderful. I wonder what's going to happen next week. Well, I got news for you. The real reality, when it breaks forth into the earth through it, God rising up in his people, it's gonna just be a wonderful, wonderful thing. You're going to see the governments of all this world come down real fast.
Yeah. That's what I'm waiting on.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, he's starting with us first.
It has to begin.
That's the key.
With the people. Yeah. It has to begin.
But we talked about, go ahead.
He
makes it so easy. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff out there. You know, I mean, am I blind to it all? No, I see it. Yeah. But I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to be concerned about any of it because it's all in his hands and in his timing. He'll do whatever he's going to do. I have my only responsibility right here, sitting here at Wings Christian Fellowship, is to have an intimate relationship with my Lord.
Yes.
That's it. He made it so easy that I don't have to worry about what Tyler's doing in Germany. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff because all I need to be concerned with is, am I having relationship with him daily? Am I, you know, the will of God is rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing and thank him in all things. That's the will of God. That's all I'm responsible for daily. That's it. If I'm doing that, guess what? You're going to commune with the Lord and it's going to be wonderful and you're going to be able to look at all this garbage from such a perspective that you go, you know, so what, this person's so depraved and politics is so screwed. I don't even think about that stuff because that's nothing I can do to fix it. That's not my job. My job is to allow God to fix me.
And let the light dispel.
Yeah. And finally, as the more he fixes me, the more his glory is revealed abroad. Wherever you go, you're going to shed abroad that glory.
And
people are going to see it, and they're going to notice it, and they're going to want it. And you may not even quote a scripture. You may not even bring up the name of Jesus. It's just that glow that you have about you, that glory that's in you, that they sense it, you know. And this Romans 8:11, I mean, we talked about the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. We talked about the body, the soul, and the spirit. Okay, it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it's that same spirit. It's not a different spirit. There's one spirit. It's not a different spirit that dwells in us that came on the day of Pentecost. It's the same Spirit. It's one same Spirit. So that Spirit dwells in us, it says right there, right? He that raised up, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Oh my gosh, I mean, that's in his Spirit that dwells in you. It says it again.
That was my prayer.
Huh?
That was my prayer.
I mean, that's an awesome prayer. I mean, think about that. That if reality would break forth in us, we would be never sick, never have an ache or pain, never have whatever. Has anybody reached that level? Not to my knowledge. But it's available. He already finished the work for us to be able to walk in that.
Yeah. It says here that, and if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through
wow.
his Spirit
That's
who
good.
Dwells in you.
I like that.
Yes. And it goes on talking about, for all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like
we
the,
should,
I like
we're indebted to
that.
Him and to the Spirit, not to the flesh.
Right.
Not to
I like that. Mm-hmm. That word sanctuary we talked about earlier is the word actually the Strong says is called a set apartness. Mm-hmm. Set apartness from what? Separateness. Separateness from what? The root is to be honored, to be treated as sacred, but what are we being set apart from? What are we being separated from?
I'm thinking carnality.
False identity.
Yep.
Yeah.
Flesh.
Am I right or am I
mm-hmm.
wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That false identity.
I
want to
know what we're talking about.
What's that?
I want to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, no.
Just making sure.
You're set apart with him in heavenly places, right? So you're set apart from him. So you're in that place that Oscar was talking about when he heard the heavenly host singing. I mean, I'm not saying that we can't be in there without, you know, we can be in there 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, whatever. But I'm just saying that is being set apart, taking time and being with the Lord. I mean, you can be in a busy, you could be in New York City and you could be set apart walking down the street with a million people on Times Square. So you don't have to be in your prayer closet to be set apart and separated in him.
And God sees that as reality. He sees each thing, you know, he sees the reality of your set apartness,
mm-hmm.
even if you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
And completely.
But anyway, think about that. Quicken your mortal bodies. Man, that is, that's a wonderful thing, folks. And I mean, I know that, you know, this body is the third most important. It's your soul and then the Spirit of God that lives and dwells in us. But wouldn't it be nice to have, I mean, I don't think you'd say no to that if God decided to quicken your mortal body and you could run a 6-minute mile.
I think he does daily as you're living in his presence and being subject to him. There is a renewing every there. And what's the scripture about? Oscar.
What about
we're
this?
Talking about how he renews
the cells of my body. What about that song?
Yeah, speaks forth a new life. Every atom radiates his glory.
Can I read the scripture out,
sure.
out of the Phillips? This is verse 18 through 21. And I think that.
Of what?
The Phillips of Romans 8 chapter.
All right.
It says, in my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because in God's purposes have been so limited. yet it's been given hope. And the hope is that in the end, the whole of created life, that's all created life now, will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in the magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God.
Now, I can't
that,
get
if that don't get you excited,
that,
listen to that, Dr. Will.
Yes.
I mean, that's beautiful. Phillips puts a lot of things in really good, really good.
That consummate things pretty well there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Puts it in a nice little package
it
and
don't
ties
get
it
no
with
better
a
than
beautiful
that.
Bow
it's
there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got the whole, his whole plan. Very nice.
Rich, can you go back when you said body, soul, and spirit, when you were talking about the outer courts and whatnot, that kind of translate that in the body, soul, and spirit?
Okay, the body and the soul and the spirit. The body represents the outer court of
Thank
the temple.
I heard outer something, something.
Outer court, and then the
your soul.
Holy place is where only the, you know, the average Joe couldn't come into the holy place. Okay?
Right. That's what you
and only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies.
And that's the priest
on the Day of
spirit.
Atonement once a year.
Right. So that's all I understand. So
and the holy place had the natural light, the candles and whatever.
You had to take showbread
and all that.
Yeah.
But the Holy of Holies, there was nothing. The only thing was the Shekinah glory of God. That was the only light in the Holy of Holies.
And also the altar of incense was in the holy place. In the Holy of Holies, that was one of the only things that he took in there other than the blood sacrifice, the high priest when he went in. And that altar of incense was the type of the prayer and the praise of the people.
Right, that's if
sweet
you didn't
smelling.
See that smoke,
it's a sweet, it's a
he
sweet,
didn't accept you or something like that.
It's a sweet smelling savor unto God. See, your prayer and your praises are what are on that altar of incense.
Okay.
And from what I've understood about it, the high priest, because he had the sacrifice, the blood and all that stuff in his hand, I kind of understood that they tied that altar of incense to his foot and drug it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be a type of, you have to walk it out, the prayer and the praise. You have to, you know, praise is the fruit of our lips. He inhabits the praises of his saints. So the praise will take you into the Holy of Holies if you really enter into the high realms of praising God.
So why can't we go in there?
You can.
You
can. Start praising God.
Start
all the time.
Start asking God to show you.
You're
already
there.
Oh, I am.
Start asking God to show you. But the Holy of Holies, this is so, there's so much types and shadows there. The high priest would go in and he'd dip with this hyssop, he would dip it into the blood,
mm-hmm.
and then he would sprinkle it seven times. Seven times. Seven is the number of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd sprinkle it in completion, but it wasn't complete until the Lamb of God came that took away the sins of the world. His sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice, and it is just so amazing that even those that don't believe Jesus was the Messiah, they quit doing animal sacrificing.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think about that. They did. You had to do this all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
But then once Jesus went into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, and that veil was rent from top to bottom.
Yes. Amen.
And look what was in the ark. You know, what was in the ark. I mean, all this is all symbolic of what's going on in here. All of it. And, you know, when reality breaks forth, and that's it's breaking forth right now in all of us. It's breaking forth. It's just maybe breaking forth differently with each person, but it's breaking forth.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's breaking forth, we're getting closer and closer to that reality of God in us, our hope of glory. You know, and the more, you know, we say it, sometimes I say it and I go, what does that really mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What does that really, really mean? Well, God is opening it up to us. He's revealing it to us. And Anna, what I would strongly recommend is all these things you're struggling with, just give them to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm giving you all this. I don't 100% understand it, neither do we, but help me to understand it. And I'm telling you, I don't know. You know, if I read the Bible and I say, God, I don't understand this, help me to understand it, most of the time, he'll give me some revelation on what I'm asking him to give me revelation on. So just start every day, start praying.
Well, I don't know if I'd be able to stand it if it's as good and wonderful as everybody says it is in this room.
You'll not only be able to stand it, you will desire it every day.
Yes.
See, I get mad because I'm not there, you know, and I just, you know, I want to be there.
That's all you have to do is want to be there. That's it.
For a very long time.
That's the key that opens the door, Adam.
Yes.
That's the key that opens the door, having the desire of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. And if your desire is to know him better and know him more and know him more intimately, he's gonna fulfill that.
That's the most pleasing thing that you can do, is have that desire to him. He loves that.
Praise the Lord. Lisa, you want to pray?
Sure. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you again for these wonderful people, Lord, and just for your word, Lord, that you reveal it to us in any of our times, Lord. We're all at different levels spiritually. We just ask that you just please help us, Lord. Give us the knowledge. You ask us, Lord, even in James, give us the knowledge and he will reveal it to us. Show us the wisdom that we need to know, Lord, that you may also reveal it in our souls and our spirit, Lord, that we may understand. Lord, sometimes you even say, just wait. It's coming. So we just need to know that you're here for us and that you're in control. And we just praise you and glorify your name. Thank you again for today. Lord, just give us ears to hear, Lord, and that we may be able to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.